Hola amigos, welcome to Willie's View podcast. Today is, I want to say February 6th, dates get me all confused here. But I'm happy to announce that we have our guest tonight, and it is M.M., award-winning contemporary romance writer, A.D. Ellis. Hello.
Hi.
It's great to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, so before we get started on our wonderful Q&A, how about telling us, like, how's your day going and where you're at?
My day is finally over. I'm a school teacher in Indiana, central Indiana, and I just got home from school, and I get to talk to you guys before I fix supper for my kids and work on their homework.
I feel you. I'm a parent too. I'm in the same boat. I'm a writer. I'm an indie romance novelist and journalist and podcaster, and also a dad for two. You know, a dad of two, and my daughter, she's 11, and so I'm on the same page. We're working together on science projects, so we're on the same boat.
Yep, I've got a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think it's so cool that you're a school teacher and you're a writer. That's amazing.
Yep, I've been teaching 20 years this year.
So I'm curious, what got you to branch out of your comfort zone of just being a teacher and branching into that world of writing?
I had been writing pretty much since high school. I was the editor of my school newspaper, and before that I wrote articles for the newspaper. So I think it was 2012 I got a Kindle and discovered the world of indie authors through finding books to read on my Kindle, and decided that I had this story in my head and I wanted to see if I could write it. And after I wrote that first story, I was hooked. So published my first story in 2014, and I've been writing ever since.
Oh my goodness. I've got to say, I am in awe of you, because we would have definitely been besties right there. I love that. But we connect already on this level, because in high school, high school and college, I was doing a lot of other writing, because writing's always been my passion, and I love just the English language and the way the different words have different meanings, and it's amazing. Uh-huh. And I love that we can do this as writers and we can expand it. Still using the tools that we learn in school, but to our own advantage, and that's a good thing.
Right.
It's not every day writers get to come up with their own little slangs, but to kind of stay in that diameter.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so how about telling those that are just going to be listening tonight, if they haven't heard about you, what can you tell them that can entice you as a reader to read your books?
Oh my gosh. I was thinking today that I probably should have asked you for like a little heads up on what kind of questions you were going to ask me, because now I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to think on my feet.
It was fun. I always get those too. I'm like, Willie, send me a Q&A. I usually do that. But then some people are like, oh, don't worry about it, I'll just wing it. Okay. So everyone's different, so I never know until someone tells me.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until today, and then I was like, I really should have asked him for a little bit of a heads up, but that's okay.
It's fine. I wing it. I love challenges.
I wing it in my classroom.
When you come back on the second time, I'll make sure to send you a little Q&A so we'll be more prepared.
Okay. So, entice people to read me. Well, all of my stories, whether they're my earlier contemporary male-female stories or my more recent male-male, all of my stories are very much based on real life, but not like real life, boring real life. I take a lot of people that I know. In fact, sometimes, you know that saying that the truth is stranger than fiction? Yes. A lot of my characters are based on maybe stupid decisions that a real person in my life made, or there's one person in particular, a character who is very much based on a very real person in my life. But then a lot of them are just bits and pieces. So I take a lot of things that I see and hear in real life or have experienced or my friends have experienced, and I sort of mix them all together. A lot of my stories, especially in my box set, Something About Him, all of those stories started because I wanted to give a best friend of mine a happy ending when something had not gone well in a relationship that he was in. So I wrote it to make his sort of sad story a happier story. So I like using a lot of real people and stupid decisions sometimes, because sometimes those make the best stories.
Amen. Yes, I agree. Again, we're same wavelength here. I love this because in my writing, I do the same thing too. I am inspired by so much around me. And then I get like a muse, like, oh, this hot guy's passing by. I'm going to use him as my book, but he's going to be my muse. You know, like, that's what I do. And I love that we can do that as writers, that we don't have to, like, we're not exposing anybody. We're just using him as a muse. And I think that's where people kind of misunderstand that writers are not bad people.
No.
We're right about you.
Yeah, and I mean, in my earlier books, the worst person in my earlier books, I mean, she wasn't based on one single person. She was based on bits and pieces of multiple people. And I will say the one person in one of my more recent books, she is actually based on a real person, but those people don't read my books, so I don't think it'll ever come out. So I think I'm safe.
Okay, so what would you say would be your most challenging characters out of the books that you've read so far and the ones that you're going to write that you know that you'll release soon? Is there maybe a hint of what you would say would be the top three favorite characters that you enjoy writing about?
Favorite characters? That's hard. I mean, as a writer, you know it's hard to pick a favorite book or a favorite character.
I always enjoy stumping you because it's fun.
Right. I would say probably the characters in my Something About Him 6-book series, just because 2 or 3 of them are based on real people in my life. So it was fun taking little quirks that my real friends have and putting them into the characters. But in my Blue Ridge Junction Boys, the BJ Boys, the 2nd book focuses on Jay and Levi, and Jay is an absolute, I mean, I love him. He's hilarious, he's sarcastic, he's a drama queen. It's great, I love him. I'm really enjoying right now the story that I'm writing because it's a fantasy romance, which I've never written, and so I'm having fun with this completely made-up fantasy character that I've never written before, so that's been a lot of fun.
Oh, wow, I like that. That's awesome. So which of your books would you recommend to, like, those that are just barely getting to recognize you in your, you know, in the reading of books? Which one would you recommend that they check out first if they were to give your books, you know, a read-through?
I think probably the BJ Boys. It's a 3-book series, and each of them is a standalone, but they're all 3 on in the same town. I think those would probably be the best to start with. I do have one standalone, which is my most recent release, called His Reluctant Cowboy, and that would, if you like cowboys, that would be a good one to start with. I personally love, I mean, I love all my books, but I love my Something About Him series, but I will say that because there are very, very real people and some very stupid plans and decisions in some of the stories that were based on real life, some people get very angry at some of the things that my characters do. So if you want something easy to start with, I'd say the BJ Boys, and then you could move on from there.
Terrific, terrific. All right. So, well, since we have you, this is even better for me because it makes it easier for me. How about we spotlight your book tonight of His Reluctant Cowboy? Can you give us a little taste of what it's about? And if it's not too much trouble, maybe a little a teaser excerpt out of the book?
Okay, hang on. While I tell you a little bit about what it's about, I can... Okay. let me grab a book. I don't know if I have one in here or not. You caught me in my PJs already.
Oh, I love that. I love that we can do that. Like I said, it's just okay. You're definitely. I'm labeling you my new bestie. I am just like that. Right now, I'm in my pajamas, just relaxing and doing my podcast. So we're on the same page.
As soon as I get home, if my kids don't have anything to do, I'm in my pajamas. So, all right. Well, his Reluctant Cowboy is the first sort of cowboy romance that I've written, and it involves Reed Alexander. He's a dancer from California, and Walker Corrigan, who is the foreman of Pine Ridge Ranch. And Reed finds out when his grandfather, who he doesn't know, dies, he finds out that he has to live on this ranch for a certain amount of time and before he can sell it. And then, so he shows up at the ranch, and he and Walker meet. And, of course, Walker, being the foreman of the ranch and not wanting to lose his job and lose the ranch, he's trying to convince Reed to stay. Reed is scared to death of horses. Reed hates the ranch. He hates everything about it. But then he also starts to feel a little guilty about knowing that he's going to be taking jobs away from Walker and all the employees there. And there's a tiny bit of suspense, mystery, more mystery and suspense for Walker and Reed than for the reader. The reader pretty much probably figures it out pretty quickly. So I wouldn't say it's a suspenseful book, but there's a little bit in there. I don't have anything in front of me right now as far as a teaser or excerpt. I'm looking through a book here, but I don't know.
Okay, no, if I can find anything to read. That's fine. What about, is there any new releases that'll be coming out? And out of this book that you're mentioning, his Reluctant Cowboy, I know you said it's a standalone, but is there a possibility that you could make another book, or is that just one book only?
There is a possibility. I wrote it knowing that I wanted to plan a second book, and a lot of times I will want to plan a second book, and I'd rather give myself the chance and plan a second book and then find out, maybe I won't, than to not plan a second one and then have the readers be like, oh my gosh, you've got to do a second book. So this way I wrote it so that I could, and most of the readers really want to see Zeke's story. So that is in the plans, is to write Zeke as a second book in this series, but it won't be so much a series. It'll just be sort of a second or a spinoff of that.
Right, like a sequel.
Yeah, check in with Reed and Walker and then see what happens with Zeke.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I tell you what, I just like got goosebumps and chills because you are on my next reader's list, because I love the Kindle Unlimited. I know a lot of people put it down, but I love it because you get to pick so many books that you can read. And for a small little price, I love it. It's like your own little Netflix, but for books.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have some issues with it, and as an author, I have some issues with it, but overall, I feel like for right now, it's good for the readers, and it works for me as an author.
Yes, exactly. There is one thing that I can stress to your readers, though, is there's a portion I heard about, it's on the Kindle Unlimited. I'm just learning this too, as you know, being a writer as well. There's a section on there where it says to not check where you want to do like the flip page of the book or something like that. It says because if you're, and there's a reason why, because if you're reading it too fast, you're not getting, the writer themselves will not get counted for reading as a book. It has to be read one page at a time, unfortunately. No fast reading, because you won't get credit. That's what I was told. Have you heard the same thing?
I've heard a lot of different things about it. I feel like it's one of those things that we hear that there's an issue, and then we hear that it's gotten fixed, and then we hear that there's another issue, and then we hear that it's fixed again. And that's one of my frustrating parts of Kindle Unlimited, is that I do feel like there are some kinks that maybe could be worked out.
Yeah, I'll agree with that on you on that. Do you use any other platforms besides your Kindle Unlimited, or is that the main one you use with Amazon?
I'm exclusive with Kindle Unlimited. I do on my website, I have like some free downloads and some free chapter samples.
Okay, cool, cool. All right, again, to put you on the spot, is there any contest going on that you can give out to announce to the readers that will be listening tonight, as well as your own readers once they get to know that you're on the podcast? Do you have like a contest you could do for like a paperback or maybe a Kindle credit or anything like that that you'd like to do? It's your floor.
I was thinking about this earlier. Okay. Nothing like, again, just waiting till the last minute to try to decide all this stuff. I really am usually a better planner than this. So I was thinking that if there was a winner, they could pick any of my titles and I would include any of my box sets. And if you have reader or listeners who enjoy all genres, I have a 8-book box set that I would include in that of male-female contemporary. So any of my box sets, whether even sent to Kindle or I could do like up to a $5.99 book sent to their Kindle.
Okay, so let's do this because I love doing this with other writers too. We'll do a contest. Let's do the contest. What we can do, they can pick a number from 1 through 100. You pick the lucky number, and the closest two numbers could win one of your books. How's that?
That sounds good.
Okay, so we'll do that. So listeners, listen in. We're doing a contest today that you pick a number from 1 through 100, and the first, at least two of the closest to the lucky number, will win one of her paperback books out of her series. As she said, maybe even like a Kindle credit, something like that. One way or the other, you'll win something. But so good luck to all of you. Remember, pick a number from 1 through 100, and you can email at willysviewpodcast@gmail.com. It has to be in tonight by 10 o'clock tonight, and that'll give everybody a chance to email, and I'll make sure to announce the lucky winners as soon as one gets chosen. And thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so what about like any other genres that you want to try to get into, or are you just okay being the romance section right now?
I honestly, because I have always been a romance reader, I don't see me branching out too much from romance. I am trying the fantasy romance just because it's a story that has been in my head, and I wanted to challenge myself to see if I could do the fantasy genre.
Right.
But I don't think, aside from maybe writing something like from my teacher point of view, I don't see me ever writing anything that doesn't at least have some romance in it.
Okay, cool, cool. All right, so I've got, this is going to be fun because this also puts you on the spot, which is always fun.
Okay.
On your books, would you say they're more of a tame romance, or is there sex? Because I always hear from different readers, some books just don't have enough sex. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's okay with a little sex and not so much, or do you think every book should have at least a little bit of that hot sex appeal? Your opinion.
I personally, when I'm reading, I like sort of like a happy medium. I don't like a fade to black. I don't like behind closed door type stuff, but I also don't want, I get a little tired of some of the books that I read where there's like every other page is some huge sex scene. So I sort of like a happy medium, and I feel like a lot, most of my books are like that. I mean, there's definitely sex and there's definitely detailed sex, but it's not, I mean, the story
it's
is
not
the most
like
important.
It's not like overly done.
Right. I mean, I don't even remember what book it was, and of course I wouldn't mention it anyway, but I was reading, and I finally, it was just like, oh my God, how many pages is this going to go on? So I like to sort of keep it in the middle, like not fade to black and not behind closed doors, but not something where I'm bored with it by the time I finally get through a scene.
Amen. I love this. I'm enjoying this so much because, like, when I did my writing, I originally started it off just like, it did the first book, which is called Love on the Run. It's an LGBT romance. And I did start it off like a little series, which was going to be like 1, 2, 3 of the book. And then I turned it into a book set. And I never thought I would end up doing another one, but people were loving it. They're like, you got to make a sequel. And it gets exciting because you get into the moment of it. And so I feel you because, like, some people were saying there wasn't enough sex on, like, book 1 or book 2. And I'm like, And I told him, I said, okay, I get you. I said, well, wait till you read the third one, and then you'll change your mind, because there'll be sex in that one.
Right.
Because I made it erotica. But
uh-huh.
I think what it is, and it's funny, because I'm sure you can agree with this, it's not easy as writers. We can't make every single reader happy. It's just not
right.
possible.
No, you'll but never, I mean...
Exactly. We can't fall into that trap, because once you do, you lose vision of your actual work and the characters and the writing that you're doing.
Exactly. I mean, I had, as a writer, you never want to read a bad review or a hurtful review, but I finally, it took me a while, and it's not that it's easy now, but I have to realize, I don't love every single book I read, so I can't expect that every single person who reads my book is going to fall in love with them. And you'll never make everybody happy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. What about yourself? Do you read any books that you could recommend?
Oh my gosh! Now you're really putting me on the spot. it's almost like when you had, what's your favorite character or your favorite book that you wrote? Uh-huh. I have so many books. Oh my gosh, Willie! I can't answer that. I feel like that's like picking my favorite child or something.
Oh, you're so much fun! I love this. This is exciting.
Okay, how about Not His Kiss to Take? That's a good one. Deep Water, Into Deep Water, I think. Oh my gosh! Next time I come on, remind me, and I will have at least 3 or 4 names of some excellent books that I love.
Okay. Now let's break off to something casual and nice. There's a lot of movies that came out this past year. Are there any uh-huh. that you like that caught your attention, or not so much? Because I watch a few movies, are you wrong? But a lot of them, they just kind of seem like passé, sort of. It's like always the same thing. And I always like excitement in movies. What about you?
I'm not a big movie watcher. We don't go to the movie theater all that often.
Uh-huh.
But I did this year, well, last year. But I watched, when I was at GRL, my friend and I were there, and we went to a theater while we were there and watched A Star Is Born. And, oh my gosh, that was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
And then The Greatest Showman is the most recent thing I've watched. And I kept having friends tell me, oh, you should watch it. You're going to love it. And I watched it, and I couldn't believe it had taken so long to watch it, because I absolutely fell in love with it.
My daughter and I love that, and she's 11 years old. We watch it, and we love it. I love the soundtrack.
Yes, I love the new
Mary Poppins. That was good. The remake surprised me. I didn't think I was going to like it.
But did you like it?
No, I didn't think I was going to like it, because I love the original, and I didn't want them to ruin the fantasy of Mary Poppins. But it's cute, especially for the women. They're going to love the humor in it, because when they try to explain what happened to Mary Poppins, she comes out with it in a humorous way. It's like you never ask a woman her age. But I love it, because it's a cute little moment. And the woman that did the embodiment as... Mary Poppins, oh my God, I mean, women power, she did such a great job. Emily Blunt, she's just awesome. I love her music, I love her voice and her acting. She's just one of those women that she's the it factor in Hollywood, and she's just amazing. If you haven't watched it, I recommend you watch the Mary Poppins, I think it's books called Mary Poppins Returns or something like that, but it was really good. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Okay. Yeah, I've had some friends who said that they liked it.
So if you were a chance to get your books out for Hollywood, are there any key Hollywood actors that grab your attention as to who could fit the character roles in your books? And if so, who would you choose?
I have the hardest time with that because I think it's because I don't watch a ton of movies or a ton of TV, mm-hmm. that I don't really know a lot of actors or actresses, and I wouldn't even know where to start to pick people to be the characters in my books.
Don't worry, I got you covered. You're lucky, because you're talking to a future director here, and I love the idea of reading these books and someday just putting them out for Hollywood courts, but to find the right actors to fit these characters... It's just a gift, and I love the idea of doing that, especially even just writing, because I write fan fiction stories, and it's always fun thinking up characters like an actor and putting them into my story, and I love that idea that we can do that as writers, that it excites our writing to a whole new level.
Yeah, that's fun. I just am not into, as like, if somebody could name an actor right now, and I'd be like, yeah, I've heard the name, but I don't even know the face. I'm so bad at that.
It's okay, it happens. It's okay to admit we don't know all of them, but it's fun. I love that. It's really cool. What about any do you have any latest song that's out on the radio that like catches your head on any tunes that came out? Anything good you like?
I have the most random and eclectic list of music on my Spotify. I grew up with my dad playing in a bluegrass band and in country bands. So I grew up on bluegrass and country. So right now I've got a huge bluegrass list, which is crazy. And I found bluegrass remakes of like hard rock songs, which seems really weird, but it's really cool. I'm listening to A Star Is Born soundtrack all the time. I'm listening to The Greatest Showman soundtrack all the time. And then just, you know, Lady Gaga's on there and Pink's on there. And I just have like massively random lists of music that I listen to, especially when I'm writing.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love Spotify too. Shout out to Spotify, man. They're awesome. I love that because I'm a big Cher fan, and I got to meet her a few years ago when I was in Vegas. I was there. I won one of those contests that they do every year for radio stations where you can call in and you know the answers, and then you win free tickets. So I won free ticket. I went to Las Vegas, and I was modeling back then, so that was fun. But I went over there, and it was nice to meet Cher because it was actually supposed to be her last one of those concerts where it was supposed to be her final concert, only it turned out not to be.
Oh, okay.
But it was amazing. So if you ever go to a Cher concert, I tell you what, it's enlightening. You get to appreciate her live, and it's amazing.
I bet she is a fabulous live performer.
Oh my God, just her music and her songs. And then I've also got to meet Madonna, the Blue Man Group, and Justin Timberlake. These people, it's amazing. When you meet them in person, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's intimidating. But to meet them in person, as a writer, your eyes are wide open to, like, so many possibilities of what people are so capable of. And how they started off just young, and now they're here to level 1, to level all the way to 10 and 11. And as a writer, you're just being inspired by all of this emotions and creativity. I think every writer should try at least go to a few concerts and open your eyes and try to widen your horizons.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
So, what's the most exciting and challenging part for you as a parent? Like, have your kids surprised you in any way? Are they teaching you things that you never thought of? What is it about being a parent that changes your life?
Well, I mean, just being a parent changes your life. Mm-hmm. I right now have a 13-year-old daughter, and that is teaching me that karma is a bitch, and that I was a horrible person to my mom when I was a teenager, and it's all coming back to haunt me now. My son is 11, and he has an amazing sense of humor, and he's like one of the quickest, wittiest, funny kids I've ever met. So, yeah, we're dealing with drama, and we've got a first-time boyfriend, and we've got just 11-year-old fifth-grade boy humor, and
oh, my God, you're just going through everything. You're just going through it all.
Yeah, it's a lot, and I feel bad because I come home from school, and I'm like, all I've done is spend all day with kids, and now my kids need me, and I'm exhausted, but in a way, my kids are easier. Because they're mine, so.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. I got my daughter. She's 11. My son, he's 20 years old. And you know what? Both of my kids are like my mini-me's. They're so, like what you said about karma and everything. It's funny because you see yourself through your kids, and you're like, oh, my God, please tell me they're not going to do this. Please tell me they're not going to do that. Because you don't want them to repeat the mistakes that you did as a kid. And it's,
yeah.
It's, I think that's like God's way of teaching us, behave yourself.
Yeah, I definitely have.
Where you learn these things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I maybe wasn't the smartest as when I was a teenager that I now hope that my own kids don't do.
Yeah, yeah. So we it's a learning process. We live and learn. You know, it happens. Do you have any future releases coming out later this year, or are you working on anything that's going to be new?
So right now I'm working on my fantasy romance if it's not released this year, something bad has happened because it's about halfway done right now. And I'm also working on a collaboration male-male romance with Declan Rhodes that he and I are planning a 3-book series.
Uh-huh.
And so it's my first time collaborating with someone because I really don't have tons of time to do collaboration, but I forced myself to try this one, and it's been fun. He's writing a chapter, I'm writing a chapter, and we go back and forth, and it's been fun with plotting and bouncing ideas off of each other. So we plan on that.
I love it. Collaborations are fun. I highly recommend at least one time because it's challenging to get wrong, but the end result is amazing. It's like, you know, the masterpiece after it's all done. It's like an artwork. It's just amazing what completes after after everything's said and done and you paid your dues. The end product makes up for everything.
Right, and I think it's important because I've heard just horror stories, disasters of people trying to co-write and it just being terrible. So I think the authors have to go into it with the, you know what, I'd love to write with you, but I don't know that we really would write that well together. So Declan and I sort of, we bounced things around and really sort of tested each other out. Like, okay, I'm not as much of a planner as he is, but he was a planner. So we sort of had to compromise. And that's been fun too, just seeing how different people, what their process is, and then working our processes together. So far, it's been fun, and I think the series is called Willow Springs, and we plan on there being 3 books in that.
Okay, and do you have do you have like a target set date of when you're trying to release, or you're still working on that too?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. Between holidays and kids starting back to school, and I think Declan's been sick like almost all of 2019 so far with colds. We got a little off schedule, but I think this story is going to come together fairly quickly just because we have an outline and we both know what we're planning on with our character. So I don't know. I'll be wild and say by summertime. How's that?
Oh, that's cool. Well, parent to parent, I do wish you all the best. And as a writer to writer, I wish you know, good luck and everything, because I know exactly how you feel. Like I said, just me being a writer, things get so much to a point we can get overwhelmed. And that's why, like last year, I had to pull back. And I'm just about to release my books later this year because it was just so much activity. You kind of got to admit it, though. You got to admit to yourself, it's a little too much. I need to step back. Because if you don't admit it to yourself, then all the stress will get to you.
Yes, it will.
Well, I really enjoyed having you, and I hope that you get to come back and enjoy some more on our QAs. And don't worry, we'll be more prepared on a QA sheet for you. That's never a problem. I enjoyed getting to chat with you. It's always nice, and it's even wonderful that you're a teacher and a parent. I like that I can connect on that level with you. That's pretty cool.
We had a lot in common.
Yeah, I hope that your son feels better because I know how the weather goes. It's just Mother Nature playing bowling outside, and you never know what's going to happen. I'm in South Texas, so it's like God plays bowling, and it's going to rain, or it's going to be hot, or you never know what it's going to be. And it's amazing because it's just, you know, it kind of teaches us you got to live for the moment, so enjoy your day while you can, because Mother Nature gets in and you're gonna be stuck at home on a rainy day and you're gonna be like, oh, what are we gonna do now?
Exactly.
All right. Well, I hope that you get to come back again. And thank you so much for just spending the time out of your busy schedule just to talk with us. It means so much. And
well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you have a great week, okay?
All right. Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh my goodness, I had so much fun for tonight, and don't forget again, the book is His Reluctant Cowboy by A.D. Ellis. It's also available on your Kindle Unlimited, and it's $3.99 to buy, so you don't want to check that, you don't want to, you know, don't let that pass you by. And again, there's also some other amazing books that she has here. Fight for It, the Blue Ridge Junction Boys Book 1. And it's, you know, it's a very exciting series. I'm loving these covers. It's amazing. And I guess we'll be calling it a night. So thank you so much to everybody who's listening in. All right. Hang on just a sec. All right, I'll see you on the flip side. She wants to get married. She wants it perfect. She wants a granddaddy preaching the service. She wants magnolias.
October and that t-shirt off your shoulder. I was drunk, said I was sober, and you said, yeah, right. We were talking for a minute, then some guy tried to cut in. He took my hand and we pretended like I was your guy. Whoa, and I tried to guess your middle name. For 30 minutes, but we played that game. Five, not a rocket science. This daytime, that's hard to find. It's true.